Up in the morning and in the field, breaking my back just to pay my bills. Loving what I do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.
Welcome back, folks. This is Lloyd Creech the second.
And this is Teresa Creech.
You're listening to Radio Hour with EKH on 104.9 FM WSKV out of Stanton, Kentucky.
Did you get lost?
Yeah, about said Mount Sterling and stuff.
But, well, we do live there, but we don't record the radio from there.
I know it and stuff, but I'm just, you know, just Mount Sterling, Stanton and
stuff. Yeah, they're very different.
Yeah, very different. But I hope everybody's having a great and wonderful July 2nd weekend. It's a long weekend
it's
for
hot,
several people.
It's dry, but it's a long weekend.
For some people it is.
If it's a long weekend for you, thank you, Jesus. And if it's not, I hope the next one is long for you.
Better luck next time.
Better luck next time.
Hope everybody's having a great 4th of July weekend. Be careful with the fireworks because it is a little dry out there, but they are giving some rain chances for Saturday and Sunday, about 60 or 70% chance. Have they changed it again?
I don't know. I'm just shaking my head no, because that's what they said this week, and we've not had the first drop.
Well, usually around the 4th of July, we get a little bit of rain every year. And, you know, before we came in here to record this radio show and stuff, I spent about 5 hours on the lawnmower today and got most of my mowing caught up. I'm only mowing the yard about every 2 weeks now, with the one with the dry grass and two for the fuel prices.
You won't have to be mowing our yard probably unless we get rain, because it is crunchy.
Yeah,
it is brown, yellow. Some of it looks a little green if you like stand on one leg and squint.
Yeah,
it looks a little green. I did notice in our neighborhood, though, when I was driving up to the house, even though our grass is crunchy, it still looks healthier than a lot of the others that mow it into the dirt.
Yeah.
And too often.
And see, I always, especially when it gets dry, which is a very non-occurring
occurrence. Yeah, we kind of had a wet year last year. I mean, it didn't get hot like this or dry.
The last 3 years has been fairly wet. And so at least 3 or 4 years it's been fairly wet. And so for us, you know, I'm out there mowing and I'm blowing dust and a lot of it. And it's in my eyes, it's in my nose, it's in my ears, it's everywhere. And I'm used to mowing with water spitting out everywhere, usually this time of year. But luckily, we've had the drier weather this year and stuff. Unfortunately, we've had the heat that goes along with the drier weather. You know, I got used to the 80s, being in the 80s on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and that felt
awesome.
Boy,
that felt wonderful. It almost felt like 60.
And then you go into Thursday and Friday, and it's in the 90s.
I thought Wednesday felt pretty warm, too.
Wednesday was warm, but it wasn't, you know, 95 and stuff. Today was only 92 degrees and stuff, but the feel like was 99. And I know I burnt my legs just a little bit mowing today, and I have really dark complexion anyway from being out in the sun a lot.
You still should wear sunblock.
And but today's sun actually got me and stuff. I'm not used to getting burned and stuff. I feel like my legs got burned today.
Did you wear your hat?
Yeah, I wore my hat and stuff. Wore my
need to
earphones,
cover your arms too
and stuff. I would absolutely burn.
No, you need to put sunblock on them.
Yeah.
Get you some of the spray kind.
Uh-huh.
That'd be easier.
And stuff. I can change my ethnicity.
No, you can't.
And stuff.
You just have very... You tan really dark.
Mm-hmm.
Your ethnicity does not change.
But we went to one of her family reunions one time and stuff. And everybody's like, who's he?
Well, this
Where's
is
he
a,
from?
No, this is a side of the family that I don't know.
Yeah.
But I went with my mom. I've gone maybe 2 times.
Uh-huh.
The first time, I totally felt like I was crashing somebody else's reunion.
Yeah.
I really didn't know anybody, and I didn't know anybody the second time. In fact, you knew more people at that on my mom's side of the family than I know.
Yeah.
We run into somebody that I am related to, a distant cousin at court day, who I did not know I was related to, and then he showed up at a family reunion.
Uh-huh. And I knew who it was.
And you knew who it was. But yes, yeah, somebody asked my mom what ethnicity you were.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, you don't, I mean, you can get whiter than me. I do have freckles.
Yeah.
So that gives me a little bit of color, but compared to you, I look like white out.
Sorry.
That's okay. The good Lord made me this way, and I stay out of the sun as much as I can because the sun's bad for you.
I look like a candy cane, a big, tall, fat candy cane.
The sun will age you.
And then I go to dark red, and then I go to white, and then I go to dark red, and then I go to white.
The sun will age you.
Yes, it will.
Like laying, or people that like, they may get tan. Like you, they get tan when they're in the sun. And that might look good when you're 20-something and your skin is supple and pretty and moisturized. And then you get 40 and you start looking like a piece of beef jerky. So stay out of the sun.
Yeah, I try to. I wear my hat. I have to wear my hearing protection now and stuff. I can, here in the last year and a half, I can really tell a big difference in my hearing. And so...
He's having an issue with his ear, so the primary care doctor sends him to a specialist. Well, the first thing they do is give him a hearing test. He comes home, he goes, I'm deaf. I'm like, no, you know what, Sherlock. I mean, I literally have to scream, Lloyd, 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 and then finally look at me. But when we were dating... And I would say your name or I'd say something and you wouldn't even... I thought you were ignoring me. I got mad.
Could just come find out. I can't hear you.
So can I have like a... Can I get some hacky sacks or something? So if I'm talking to you and you don't hear me, I could just throw it at you?
Yeah, as long as it's a hacky sack and not, you know, something
not,
hard.
I mean, not like a cornhole like a bag, you know, or anything.
A dish or a plate or anything.
I wouldn't throw that at you.
Stuff, you know.
A hacky sack, though. I'm going to get me some
of those. I have cousins that throw stuff at their husbands and everything. So long as it's just like a hacky sack. But, so, yeah, with my ear and stuff, they sent me to one doctor, and now they sent me to another doctor, and now in September I got to go to another doctor, and nobody can find out what's going on with it, other than they're like, oh,
it's just, not even bothering you now.
It's not, but it will. It comes back. It comes and goes. And when it comes in and stuff, it's like a bad toothache because your ear is numb all the time and stuff. You can sit there and flick it. You can, you know... I can wear glasses. When I wear glasses and it's doing its thing and stuff, I can't tell if my glasses are actually sitting on my ear or not and stuff because it's numb.
Can that
numb.
Be something in your back, like your spine?
No, they said there's a nerve that runs up your shoulder, across your neck, and up and behind your jaw in front of your ear. It runs right up that corridor to your brain. And they said that might be damaged. I don't know why, I don't know how and stuff, but they are thinking that's what's causing the numbness in my ear. So
there ain't nothing they can do for that.
No, and stuff. But I would like to get it, you know, I would like to have it definite. Yeah, that's what it is. It's nerve damage. You know, you'll have this rest of your life. Okay, I can live with that. Living with not knowing is something else, so you know, it comes and goes. I've been to the doctor for it before, but when it does come in and stuff, it's just aggravating and stuff. So
you're falling apart.
I ain't falling apart.
You are falling apart. You got glaucoma drops. You can't hear.
You got a numb ear.
You got a numb ear. Okay. You got a bad knee.
Yeah, I displaced my knee the other day.
You got butt problems. You're just...
I have lived a hard-working, hot life.
You're only 44, but my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the ailment this week, Lloyd?
And it you know, I was never that way until I turned 42 years old.
Oh, I don't want to talk about the 40s. They're not treating me kind at all.
So from 42 until now, which is only 2 years, I'm getting ready to be 3 years here in just a couple more months. But I have been to the doctor more.
Are you going to be 45 or 44?
I'll be 45 in December, honey. I'm pretty sure. I ain't positive, but I'm pretty sure I'll be 45.
Really?
Yes.
There's no way.
I'll get my phone out here in a minute. I can't remember really either, so.
That's awful.
The only thing I can remember is the day that we got married. Now, Teresa has a little hard time.
No, I don't. It's October 24th, 2015.
She always gets October 15th.
I always think it's October 25th because it was 2015.
And stuff, but she's the one that's like, oh yeah, no, it's actually you're a little late on that one.
That's a long time. Okay, you will be 40. Good night.
Wow,
honey.
You think I'm old or something? You're 40.
Uh-huh.
You've been sick more this year.
Will you hush? Okay, I've had COVID not one time, but two times.
And maybe three times.
Possibly three times. I was really sick in January of 2020.
Yeah.
And I tested positive for flu A, but they didn't have a COVID test that I could take.
Yeah.
But when I got COVID back in February of this year, the symptoms were exactly how it played out in 2020.
Yeah.
So I do believe that probably was my second go around with COVID, but then it walked in my damn front door. I mean, I celebrated my 40th with COVID.
Uh-huh.
4 months later, had some people over. They called me the next morning to say, we've tested positive for COVID. And I thought, well, I should be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Started with the sinus. I didn't have any of that in February.
Yeah.
And so I thought, it was really hot, so I had the fans and stuff moving in the house, and I thought that's maybe what was causing the sinus issues. And then I just started feeling icky. And I'm like, But I tested.
Yeah.
So, exposed on Sunday, I tested Tuesday. I mean, I went overboard with the testing, but I tested Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all three negative.
Uh-huh.
I tested Friday I had some milk and Oreos, and yeah. I thought, I made a joke, COVID and cookies.
Yeah.
And I fully anticipated that it, you know, was going to come back negative because the other three did.
Yeah.
It come back positive.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Who do you know has had COVID two times in 4 months?
There's probably several people.
But in 4 months?
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm just like, okay, thankfully, the good Lord above, neither time did Damon or Lloyd get sick.
Yeah.
Neither time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a blessing. The second time this year, the symptoms were different, headaches.
Yeah.
And I'm super, super tired. I have no energy at all. But if I'm going to be one of these people that catches it easily, if you come over to the house, we are visiting outside. We are going to be 10 feet apart.
10 feet apart, and it'd be 100 degrees.
And it'd be 100 degrees.
You're more than welcome to come over.
But you are more than welcome to come over. I don't want to be sick all the time, and 40's not been very kind to me.
Oh. You talking about when I turn 42?
Honey, when you get it the first time, and you will.
Yeah, I eventually
will. You will. It is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how you'll react. Mm-hmm. That's what's so scary about it.
Yeah.
But you can't live in a cave and just avoid. And the stupid thing is that I kind of do like live like a cave person because I work from home. I'm at home a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not out in the world a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
And still I caught it.
Yeah. So you can live like a hermit. You can be completely self-isolated.
And it'll walk through your front door with a smile on its face.
And not know it.
So. And not know it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just,
one of those things.
It is. It's one of those things.
So. But we've not done the radio together in a really long time.
It's been 2 months since me and her's been on here together. Paul was on here last week with me. And then me and Paul did it a couple of weeks before that. And stuff. Paul said the other day they got a bunch of rain down there where he lives at. It washed the roads out and everything, did all this damage and stuff. And then Tuesday or Wednesday, he sends me a photo of his garden, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Everything's just nice and neat. You can see the dirt, and it's all tilled, and sunflowers are, you know, 5-6 feet tall.
What does our garden look like?
Looks like an ocean of green.
Ours does?
Yes.
Even though we haven't had any rain?
We've not had no rain. I've been watering like the tomato plants and the cucumbers and some of the apple gourd stuff. The watermelon is growing. The pumpkins are not growing. The sunflowers are not growing. The cucumbers are green, but they're not growing any. Everything is like at a standstill waiting for some rain, because Camargo got a little bit of rain, a little bit more rain than Mount Sterling did last week, but Mount Sterling's only had like a tenth of an inch of rain in a while, but Camargo got a little bit more, and then down around where Paul lives, that stuff's got a whole lot more than we did, but I'm actually watering the garden. I watered it on Wednesday morning. I watered it on Thursday morning. But that was the first time this week that I've watered it and stuff, because it was starting to look pretty dry.
You have to water the plants in the backyard.
Yeah, I have to water the plants. Talking about the plants in the backyard stuff. So I've been asking everybody for a 30-gallon watertight barrel. And to no avail, did anybody call me or was able to find me one.
What are you doing, are you?
And so I had
to... Are you shaming them?
No, I ain't shaming them. So I went to the big box store and bought a 24-gallon plastic tote with a lid.
Why didn't we just get a cooler?
Well, because coolers are a lot more expensive.
They're not that much more expensive. Well, I didn't say go buy a Yeti. I said just go buy a cooler that has a spout on it.
But... The spout is itty bitty. You can barely stick your pinky into that spout. The one I got and stuff is a half inch.
No, don't they make spout. Those orange ones that you can, like, you see at construction sites that have the.
Yes, they have spouts on them. I ain't doubting that a bit and stuff. But they're so small, it takes you forever to fill up your watering canister and stuff. So I went and got a 24 gallon tote with a. Weather tight lid on it. It has a rubber gasket underneath the lid, and it clamps down really well. Drilled a hole in it, and then drilled a hole at the bottom of the container, put in some plumbing pieces and stuff, some straight pipe, a valve, 290s, glued it all together, and put it all together, and then put it on our garden cart, so now I can carry 24 gallons of water to the backyard and to all the plants.
Instead of having like 5 different containers full of water that you have to constantly.
Yeah, so I had 5 different 5-gallon, well, not all 5-gallon, I had one that was 3 gallons, one was 5 gallon, you know, so on and so forth. And so now it's up to 24 gallons in this tote. It has a spigot on it, so I can turn it on and off after I fill my watering canister to go over to each plant and do it that way. The garden cart carries it really well. It's even distributed and stuff. I got boards around it so it don't slide around or anything. But it turned out really nice. Later on, I'm going to hook a water hose to it so I can just, instead of using the water bucket and stuff, I'll just go over with a hose.
Well, and the reason we have to do this is because we have an older home and it only has a garden spigot out the front of the house.
Uh-huh.
They don't have one in the back.
So instead of, you know, spending all the money and everything crawling under the house to put a spigot back there, we'll just use the garden cart, 24 gallons of water, And that gives me more than enough.
The garden, even if you have the spigot, you'd have to have a really long hose in order to reach all the plants.
Yeah.
So you really didn't make sense to put a spigot back there.
And so, you know, it's working well. We have, at the time, we had 32 plants in the backyard. Now we got around 50.
50? What have you added?
And stuff. All those elephant ears that are starting to miraculously pop up out of the ground.
Oh, man, they took forever. Usually they're fast growing.
Yes, we got elephant ears coming up everywhere. And we got, I've planted some more this year and then some. You know, usually in our climate zone, if it's really cold like it was last winter and stuff, that will kill out the elephant ears.
And so they won't come back.
But evidently, they were under the ground so far that it didn't completely kill them.
You have three coming up together.
Yeah, I have. Well, actually, it's a lot more than that now.
Oh.
You're like 10 now.
Are we going to be able to get around it just to
get on it? Yeah. Not a problem. But
you might have to go under 10 there
under
and
one
dig.
And one under another. And then We planted some coleuses, four or five bulbs of those not too long ago, and then we put one of our flowering baskets in the ground because we just could not keep the moisture to it.
It wasn't that we couldn't keep it moist. Those flower baskets are only really made to last, I feel like, so long, because then instead of putting the effort towards the flowers, it was growing the plant, and the plant was just getting too big for the basket that it was in.
And so it had yellow petunias and those black petunias that are so
popular for some reason
this year. And so we got had a basket of those. We put those in the ground with the coleuses and elephant ears and the calabrosia, the purple calabrosia. That was in our hanging baskets is now in a stump and stuff. We had an old cherry tree stump in the backyard.
I seen something online and they said put you some soil down and put you some flowers, and they've actually lasted.
And they do really good, and you know all that nutrients from that tree breaking down that's in the soil there. So it's really black. It's black gold what it is. And for anybody that raises plants. Then we got an elephant ear there. And then we got that, what's that tree I got you from Mother's Day?
Hibiscus tree.
And it's doing awesome. And then her cousin gave us some ferns.
Ostrich ferns. And I wish he'd had more.
And so we put those in front of the deck.
They died. Or the ferns that were on them had died out. But we still planted them. And then we have three or four fiddleheads on both plants. And apparently they spread via the rhizomes under the ground.
Rhizomes under the roots.
Yeah, so hopefully. And you know, you said I didn't have a green thumb, but I will have you know that several months ago I bought a snake plant for the kitchen. It had a baby.
Yeah, we transplanted
it
the
other day. I'm a plant grandma. I transplanted it the other day. So I do have a green thumb.
And then our mint plants, we've got peppermint, Kentucky mint, regular mint, and them things are just really robust and huge and growing. And I've actually taken clippings off of the peppermint to make new peppermint plants, and they're doing good. So they you know, we've got plants going everywhere.
And I deadheaded the rose bushes. For the first time ever. I don't think I've ever done that. And I wasn't sure exactly if I did it correctly or not, but I'm starting to see buds. So I think I did.
Yeah.
So I, you don't have to, but if you remove the old ones, you cut down to the, I think it's five leaves. I didn't really count. I just cut underneath the little, because they, when they come up, then they come up in like, it's like your fingers, like they, each one of those would be a rose.
Yeah.
And they were all dead. So I cut like at the wrist.
Yeah.
Basically. And it trimmed them up a little bit, but now I'm starting to see blooms on them. So it made them look better.
Yeah. And yeah, you can deadhead the roses, and it's also a good thing in the fall time to cut your roses back
tell you what,
down to the main stalk and then mulch it.
Yeah.
And they will really come back and not get overgrown or out of control when you do that.
I'll tell you what did not do well this year.
What's that?
Our window baskets.
Yeah, the window baskets we're having quite a bit of trouble with this year and stuff. The calabrosia that we plant into them every year.
Well, this is only the second year that we've done it, but I don't know if it was just it's been so hot. Mm-hmm. Or the plant, I don't know. And they didn't do well. They're not flowering very well. I did make a decision, though.
What's that?
I think in the fall, maybe like towards the end of September, I want to replant fall type stuff in the window baskets.
Okay.
You know, like cabbages, the purple cabbages, maybe some leafy greens. I don't know. Fall plants. I'll have to get online and find out what those are.
That one you got on the front porch that's on top of the candy barrel and stuff, you know what kind of vine that is?
No.
And stuff, it is doing awesome. It looks like a waterfall coming off the top of this wooden barrel. And it's actually...
It's soft. It's fuzzy like lamb's ear, but it's not lamb's ear. And it hangs down. We'll have to...
I think
you
I
can
got
take
it on my
a
phone.
Picture of it with that app that you pay for.
I think it's on there and stuff. We'll have to look at it here in a little bit. But we've got plants going everywhere. We've got probably close.
We
to
have a problem. That's what we have.
We have a opportunity to do something awesome in our yard, and we take full advantage of it.
Is that what it is?
Yes. And stuff. That's the way you look at it, because we cannot quit buying plants.
We have a problem.
And so we got raspberry or blueberry trees in the backyard. We got that one berry tree back here. I can't remember the name
of
it.
Well, that was there before I bought it.
But it's there. We can use it to our benefit if we wanted to.
We even have a beautiful deck.
It is. It is a beautiful deck.
And it's going to be a beautiful pavilion.
One of these days. And stuff, we got to put a roof on it and stuff. The deck's done. We just got to get time to get the roof on it, which
we're gonna find the time.
We're gonna
put it on the calendar. We are gonna pick some days.
And so if you know anything about building and could help a feller out, you know, give me a ring and stuff. It's free labor though, so
we'll feed you.
Yeah, we'll feed.
I thought your Uncle Jimmy was going to help.
He will be there, but he's camping this weekend, so
okay.
he couldn't do it this weekend, which it's a holiday weekend.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it on a holiday weekend anyways.
And so, but we'll get it done here in the next week or two. So.
We are going to get it on the calendar.
Or
he won't be on the radio no more after this, you all.
But what else you got to talk about over there? Did you got any stories or article? Man, we haven't done this in so long.
I got me a new camera.
Yeah, I got you a new photo camera.
I upgraded. And only because the camera I had, nothing really wrong with it, but the screen on the back started to go bad. And I've had it for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So, I upgraded my camera.
Yeah, she is an amazing photographer She's an amazing photographer, guys. She don't call herself amazing, but she's a really good photographer. So, if you need pictures taken, or landscape picture, anything like that stuff, give Teresa a call.
We went with his aunt and uncle who play golf a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
She decided that she wanted to redo one of her bedrooms with pictures of the golf course there in Mount Sterling. And so I went, never been to it, got in a golf cart and drove me around, but we drove around the wrong time of the day.
Yeah.
In the evening times, in the summertime, the sun makes everything yellow, and you can fix some of it. But I got to do that, and then I have been asked... I don't know if they've fully decided yet, but I've been asked to do my first wedding.
Yeah. And so, but she is a really, really good photographer. And so if y'all need anybody to take your pictures or family outings or something other, give her a call. She's really good. And her camera is awesome. It is a really nice camera. And so she's able to do more with it. And so, but she's good. She's been set up at the Natural Bridge artisan festival before.
I like the landscape photography where you take pictures and nobody, there's no pressure. Yeah. That's why this wedding is.
You gotta have confidence.
No, I said that I would never do. Weddings are different though, Lloyd, because.
Yeah, there's no redos.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, you got to get these pictures and these pictures and these pictures and these pictures. Lord have mercy, by the time the ceremony starts, I'm going to be passed out somewhere. I don't know.
Start your exercises now. Start doing your breathing treatments.
Breathing treatments.
go to the doctor and get you some Prozac.
I don't know. No, I might need some I don't know. It's nice to be asked. You know, I've never been asked, yeah. But a lot of people make their money in wedding photography.
Yeah. Some of it's kind of ridiculous how much they charge.
I went to...
But, you know, a lot of people don't see the actual work that happens after the event.
Yeah, you look at the price. I think an average is about $2,000.
Yeah.
For a seasoned...
Yeah.
You know, seasoned photographer, about $2,000. What people don't see, though, is that it's not just
somebody holding the camera day of and taking pictures.
If they're doing themselves and you justice, they are touching. I'm not saying completely changing those in, but they are making those pictures as best as they can, and that takes hours. Sometimes I can look at a photo, and it take 2 seconds to touch it up, you know, fix a minor, whatever. Or then sometimes I can look at a photo, and it take me an hour, and I still don't get it.
Yeah.
So I enjoy this hobby, but this is a very expensive hobby. I was, you know, kind of Googling the recommended lenses for weddings. I thought, oh, okay, I'll look at that. It was $1,800. $1,800. That's not the camera, folks. That is just the lens that goes on the camera. And I thought, well, buddy, I'd love to have one of those, but that's more than I paid for the camera. So I won't be having... You can rent lenses from places.
Yeah, yeah. Camera.
I can look at that. That Murphy camera in Lexington. I wonder...
That time I stopped over to get your Christmas present or birthday present, whatever it was, that place was packed. And then I was looking at the prices and stuff, and you talking about having a heart attack and stuff. Because photography, you know, it's rarity to see film anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of digital. And
well, and the thing with digital, though, is you have the opportunity to fix a lot of things that you may not be able to expose correctly when you
use film.
Yeah, when you use film. But
for all those millennials that are listening to us and stuff, and they're like, Mom, what's film?
For the longest time, I even remember being like I was probably older. I was probably about 9 or 10, and I had a Polaroid. I've always loved taking pictures. But then you remember when the digital cameras, remember taking your film to Walmart?
Ones. Yeah.
I mean, I did that all the time. And then they come out with, like, the digital cameras. They were, like, 1 or 2 megapixels. They were awful. They were awful. But then as cell phones started to kind of take off, for the longest time, I just had my I would upgrade my iPhone just because of the upgrade. I've taken some beautiful pictures with an iPhone.
Yeah.
So when I upgraded first to my Canon Rebel... It was on QVC one Saturday for like $500. It's like 3 easy pays, so it made it feel not so bad. I had that camera. I paid that camera off 3 and 4 times.
Yeah.
Now this one, the lens was more than the whole camera. The camera that I have now, and there's other ones that I could upgrade to further down the line, but Lord have mercy, it's expensive.
It is expensive.
And everybody, if you're looking for a photographer, I'm telling you, you go on Facebook and 1,000 pop up. I'm not saying 1,000 good ones, but 1,000 will pop up.
It's just like my hobby of trains. I love trains. And so I do not buy a lot of new trains. I haven't bought a train of any sort, shape, or kind for at least 5 years and stuff, because I don't have nowhere to store them, nowhere to, you know, set up.
You have to have somewhere where you can put them to display them.
Set up and display them and stuff like that. I don't have that. But I have a bunch from before we got married. And so I have like 26 engines. I have 200, 300 either passenger cars, rail cars, maintenance away vehicles, bukus of track, styrofoam.
Why don't you get you one of those buildings? People use them for storage buildings, but why don't you use them to display your trains?
We don't have the room in our backyard. We got this beautiful pavilion now. We got the wood shop. Bubby's going to have a tree house here before long and stuff. So that one whole side of the yard is pretty much occupied and stuff. And then you have to run electric and all that. And then that just, you know, when I get old and gray.
You mean when you get, wait a second. When?
Uh-huh. When I get older and gray, I am silver
when you get
right
older,
now.
I am silver. I know, honey. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm
so
only 44.
I know. So am I.
And you're 40.
I'm 40, but
and
I'm
silver.
And silver? No, it's done gone white.
No, it's still silver. You still got some hair color. You got.
I have hair color. I still have color in my hair.
Yeah, I do too. When I cut it all off,
you do look 10 years younger. But so when you get older, you'll find a way to...
Yeah, to display them and everything like that.
To display
that.
Them.
So, you know, I got probably, I don't know, $3,000 invested into this hobby of mine.
Let's talk about trains.
Uh-huh.
Because we're going somewhere.
Yes, we are. October 1st, we are going. Actually, it's actually September, something like that. But
sometime around there. I don't think it's on the 1st.
But
we're going to Cass Scenic Railroad in West Virginia. And if you have never been there, it is in the middle of nowhere. It is in the middle. Let me repeat myself. It is in the middle of nowhere.
And they have, what, 4 or 5 Shay locomotives?
Oh, the steam, like the old-timey.
And they're not just steam engines. They're gear-driven steam engines.
Yes, they are amazing, and I had no interest in trains, but we took our honeymoon in the Shenandoah Valley, and on the way back, because we had to go through West Virginia, we stopped at Cass. The only tickets available at the time were, they have a 2-hour excursion, and or a shorter and a longer. So yeah. The Whitaker was the shorter one. That was the only one they had available. So we took that one, and they have switchbacks. So think of kind of like a zipper or like a zigzag, and that's how the train went up the mountain.
Yeah. So if you think about Natah Tunnel, when you come out of a Natah Tunnel and you've got that downhill slope and it slopes to the left and then it slopes to the right and then it slopes to the left and then it slopes to... That's what this train...
Was that switchback?
That's kind of like a switchback. And so that's what this train does up a big old mountain in West Virginia. It was a logging camp back in the 1800s?
No, the early 1900s.
Early 1900s?
Yeah.
And so it's a logging camp out in the middle of nowhere, and they use Shay engine, which is gear-driven engines. You have to look it up online.
I mean, just the whistle alone gives you goosey bumps. But, okay, so the reason we said that we would always kind of like to go back.
Uh-huh.
Well, the little fella has taken a liking to Thomas,
yeah.
And he loves his trains. Uh-huh. And he even now he goes choo choo woo woo, ding ding.
Well, he seen Teresa's photo the other. We went driving last weekend for the first time in years, and so
there was a rare opportunity at the entrance of Natah Tunnel from 15. You know how there's usually traffic backed up there anytime you go. For whatever reason, on Sunday when we took our ride, there was hardly any traffic.
Yeah.
So I was able to get out and take a picture of the entrance. It's beautiful, if I say so myself. But I had shown Bubby once, and I said, tunnel? Well, I had it pulled up on my work computer, and I was over washing my hands or something, and he come in the kitchen and got up in my chair, and he said, tunnel, tunnel, and I wasn't really paying attention, and I turned around, and he said, tunnel. I said, yeah, that's good, and he goes, train tunnel. Now, I never told him that a train went through there.
Yeah.
But he knew.
Yeah, he figured it out. And so, but he's a big fan of Thomas the Train.
Yes.
And yeah. So he likes the whistles and a lot of stuff he says is from Thomas.
And it, oh,
wait,
yeah.
Look.
One, two, go. But we have planned a weekend trip away, got tickets. First off, it's the Bald Knob. It's the 4.5-hour excursion. Yeah. I'm a little nervous about taking an almost 3-year-old, but hopefully he will just love everything around him.
Yeah.
That it keeps him, you know, kind of engaged. But it is in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia.
It's near Snowshoe. To a little country road.
Yeah, it's near Snowshoe
Mountain,
I guess it's a ski resort that they have there. It's beautiful, but it's like 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
To get to it. So we had to make a weekend out of it, and then finding somewhere to stay, because it's in the middle of nowhere. I say this because y'all, on the way back, we thought, oh, we're going to be adventurous, and we're not going to get on the interstate.
Yeah, there was no interstate to be had.
Oh, my gosh. You think we have hills in Kentucky? No. Mm-mm. We have nothing on West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
That's the first time we've seen, we've mentioned this before, the roadside table. We're like, what is a roadside table? I mean, like, y'all, he was driving, and we'd go up, I don't know, like 1,000 feet. And then we go down. And then I was so nervous. My butt was puckered. I'm not going to lie. I was like, this is awful. But we kept seeing this sign for roadside tables. And we're like, what's a roadside table? Sure enough, we come up on one.
Uh-huh.
It is a picnic table on the side of the road.
Uh-huh.
And they have a sign for it.
Yep. And say it's for you to take little breaks and take pack your lunch.
Needed to put some bathrooms on the side of the mountains. It's scary, and a lot of places don't have guardrails.
But we're
going to take him, and hopefully he enjoys
himself. You know, that's one thing about Irvin. They're going to start working on that train park over there,
mm-hmm.
Stuff where the coal trains and everything run through Irvin there. And so I can't wait until that gets going and gets started over there, because that'd be a little bit closer to home for, you know, train events. You know, they hold model railroading train events all over the U.S. and stuff like that. So that would be really cool, you know, when Irvin gets theirs up and go and get their building built to start holding events over there, you know, maybe even train rides and stuff like that. But if you get a chance, look up Cass Scenic Railroad in West Virginia.
Here, I just want to play this.
And
this is why we're driving 5.5 hours one way.
The train whistle is got to be heard. Now turn it up.
I will in just a minute. What's so cool is the big plume of black smoke that comes up because it's coal driven, right?
Yeah, it's coal driven.
And so it has a big coal.
Uh-huh.
It's so cool. I can't wait. My camera is ready. And you're going to have to watch the little fella.
Then they got the coal netting on the chimneys of the train so that the embers don't catch the woods and stuff on fire.
They do?
Yeah.
Because now when we went to Dollywood, they didn't have that.
No, they didn't.
You were the net.
Yeah. And so you got to be careful of the hot embers coming down and stuff. But with those coal, they're called arresters and stuff, but they put them on the top of the train stacks and everything so that
it prevents the embers from... I didn't know that.
Yeah. And stuff. If you ever watch Thomas the Train, there's a square box on top of the round chimney and stuff, and that's what that's for. That's a spark arrester and stuff. They got them on chainsaws and weed eaters and stuff like that. But it keeps the embers from flying out of the exhaust and catching stuff on
What's
fire.
Really cool about this excursion, the longer one, it's called Bald Knob. It goes up Bald Knob Mountain. I guess that's the name of the mountain. But what's really cool is that it is so high. It's, I think, the second highest peak in West Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, is that the plants and the animals change because of the elevation. So animals and trees and stuff that you would typically see here, you'd normally see them up north, like in Canada or Maine or even Alaska, like the white hares, the rabbits, I don't know what they call them. But you see those at the top of that. And then they have a wooden over, like a overlook at the top. So the only thing that I don't understand, and maybe I guess thinking about it, I do a little bit. You take this ride, and it takes about 2.5 hours to get up to the top of the mountain. It goes 22 miles round trip. It takes 2.5 hours to get up, and they only give you 30 minutes at the top before you have to board the train and come back down.
You're on schedule, and I mean, these people work, you know, 8 to 5 or something like that.
Well, yeah, so they only take one of these a day. Yeah. They don't, you know, and it's so, like from you board at 12 and then you're...
So I'm sure they don't want overtime and all that, you know, because it is a state park. It's a West Virginia state park and stuff. So it is ran by the state and everything. So I'm sure they got schedules they got to keep.
But being in the middle of nowhere and having to find a place to stay, you're going to pay a pretty penny.
Yeah, and stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a great place to go. We've been there. It'll be our second time there, so, and stuff. Just like a Heritage Farm there in West Virginia, too. That we've been to it twice now.
West Virginia, if you are into, we like the mountains. We are not beach people.
No.
Every like 5 to 10 years, I'd like to go to the beach to see the ocean and have actual time to hunt for seashells.
Yeah.
But, I'd much rather go where it's not 1,000 degrees and bathing suits are not involved.
All right, but we was talking about the garden there earlier and stuff, and I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I made this healer bedder thing this year. Yeah, I did. I mentioned it, so I was talking to Paul about it, and it's done a really good job. Next year, we're going to add the wrap to it, so when we build our mounds, we will have that, it's a cloth wrap that goes on the mounds, so you don't have to weed it and stuff. And, you know, you get out your hoe, and you got to go out there and weed, you know, that job that nobody wants and stuff. And I'm not even done this year. And stuff. I need more of a lawnmower now, or a weed eater. I've weed-eated the garden twice now because the grass has gotten so bad. And now it's getting weedy and stuff because it's hot. So, but I got the healing better done. It's really cool. Look online. They're really expensive. They cost anywhere from $300 to $500, $900 and stuff. I built one with used parts and a couple new parts, and I got, I think, about $250 invested in it. And so I went and with my uncle and stuff. He was interested in doing that, so me and him got together. I built it, got the parts for it and everything, and then we're going to add the wrap for it next year. But it's really cool because on a normal Kentucky year where we get rain and lots of it at one time, it keeps the plants out of the water. And the water gets sucked up into the bottom of the mounds, and so the plants have something to live off of for a lot longer period. That's on a good year. This year has not been a common year that we've had here in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. So, Teresa, what do you got looking at over there?
Facebook. I'm sorry.
Are you looking for an article?
No, or? I have one.
Oh, do you?
I do have one. So on the way over here, the second go round with COVID was mild. But I am super, super, super tired, and I'm thinking I have no immunity. I feel like my body, if somebody sneezes a mile from here, I'm going to catch a cold. I feel like. So, B12, is going to be good for energy. But here are some.
I got B12 for cattle and stuff. You want me to just give you some injections?
No, I don't. No, thank you.
We got
no.
some 5cc, 10cc, 15cc, and 20cc. And stuff you can I go from the small needle to the big needle.
Okay, let me first off say that no, he has never administered anything to me that he gives a cow. Or anything, period. No. Thank you.
Why not? It's the same stuff.
I will take my chances with the pills. I am not having... No. Okay. Moving on. but I, you know, I'm starting to think so. One of the unfortunate side effects, and I didn't really know this until somebody mentioned it to me and I looked it up online and then I experienced it myself. About 2 or 3 months, starting the beginning of May, probably, because I had COVID in February, so April, May. So sometime in the middle of May, I noticed that the shower water was not draining out of the bathtub as quickly as it normally does, which usually means my hair is clogged.
Yeah.
Okay, so once every 4 or 5 months, I have curly hair, so I don't brush it. And it tends, when it comes out, then it comes out in the shower. Mm-hmm. So having to clean that out, you know, every 3 or 4 months is normal. But I had to clean it out 3 times in like a 2.5 week period. And I noticed my hair was really, really thin. And then I got to looking online, and sure enough, when you have any kind of trauma, it doesn't have to be COVID, but they're starting to notice people that have COVID. I guess it's stressful for your body, and it changes the stage that your hair is. So your hairs on your head are either growing, they're in a resting stage, or they're in a falling out stage. It messes with the resting stage and can convert up to about 40, I think it said 40% to the falling out phase. And I think, I'm pretty sure that's what my hair is doing. So I took, I got some biotin, hair, skin, and nail vitamins. We'll see if that works. But I thought, you know, I've had COVID twice now in a short amount of period. I probably need something to help my immune system. So this article is about natural immune boosting foods. Now, this was written in the December of 2020. So they're talking about like going into winter and everything. People don't start really thinking about viruses and whatnot till it gets cold.
I think that's changed the landscape a little bit.
COVID changed the landscape on a bunch of things. But probiotic foods. So eating a cup of yogurt a day that contains live and active cultures is a wise investment in your health. The cultures in the yogurt help to keep a balance of good bacteria in your gut, allowing it to function at its optimal level. Much of the body's immune system is located in the gut, so keeping the gut happy should help to maintain good overall health. Now, I do eat yogurt almost every day, but... it's I can't find the Light and Fit no more, so it has sugar in it, but that's okay. I do eat my yogurt. If an illness has already gotten you down and you are on antibiotics, it is even more important to include probiotics in your diet. Antibiotics not only kill the bad bacteria that made you sick, they also kill the good bacteria in your body. Here's a side note. When you get COVID, they don't have any medicine that they can give you. You are basically just...
They do have a probiotic now that they can give you, though.
Oh, they do? It is not, yogurt is not the only option when it comes to probiotic foods and natural immune boosting. Other foods you may want to consider are milk kefir, water kefir, kimchi, and fermented sauerkraut. Take my chances with the yogurt. The second thing is oats. Oats contain beta-glucans, which have an even stronger ability to fight off illness than the often recommended natural immune-boosting herb echinacea. In addition to their natural immune-boosting benefits, oats also help to encourage wound to heal more quickly and potentially enhance the effectiveness of antibiotics. So a bowl of oatmeal, granola, or oats might be just the ticket. Well, see, I put granola in my yogurt. I'm already ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I leveled up. Berries contain both vitamin C and bioflavonoids, which work together to help the body to rid itself of toxins, boost the immune system, and maintain healthy collagen levels in the skin. These are all things you want to have going for you in the winter season. Right, now,
see,
I mean,
see my old man juice that I drink every morning.
Your old man juice, your
V8.
Your V8, but not the like tomato. It's more of like a energy.
It's
like
a
V8 energy drink.
It still has the V8 juice in it and everything, and green tea and stuff. But that I drink at least one a day. So
the tea, true teas from the Camellia sinensis plant species, have been shown in studies to contain high levels of antioxidants, which attack free radicals that contribute to disease. White tea contains the most antioxidants, followed by green tea, oolong, and black tea. All of these teas have at least some benefit to the immune system and many additional benefits to the body as a whole. 3 cups a day should be sufficient to receive the benefits. I used to drink hot tea, but it has to be cold outside for me to do it. Coffee now, I can drink coffee in the morning.
Ain't coffee just tea?
No.
My stuff, because it comes from a bean. Tea comes from leaves.
Tea is not. I like both, and they're not the same. And I like them for different reasons. Garlic has potent antimicrobial properties that help the body to fight
there
off illness. I am not a big garlic person, but Lloyd would wallow in it like a pig.
Yes, buddy.
It aids in killing harmful bacteria in the gut, where much of the immune system resides. In addition, the volatile oils in garlic are beneficial to the lungs as a decongestant. It is most potent when chopped, allowed to sit a few minutes undisturbed, and eaten raw. If you and your household are fighting illness, put it in everything that you can think of to get it into your system. Maybe I should have rolled around in it.
It's good stuff, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you smell real good. Yeah,
that's why you don't see me wearing white shirts, though.
No, because it comes through your skin, probably.
It does.
You don't smell like garlic. You don't eat enough to smell like it.
But if you wear white shirts and you sweat a lot, your shirts will start to turn yellow and brown.
Ew.
Or you sweat at a lot. So
nasty. Eggs, or more specifically the egg yolks. Egg yolks contain zinc and selenium, which kickstart the immune system. What better reason to add an egg or two a day? Try them boiled for a snack or scrambled with some garlic, onions, and peppers for a light lunch.
I eat eggs every day.
Well, I don't eat eggs every day, but I do enjoy eggs, and I enjoy them scrambled, fried. I'll eat them boiled. I mean, I'll do that sometimes.
I like scrambled hard.
I might have that for breakfast tomorrow with my yogurt.
And then take elderberries every couple of days.
I'm taking the elderberry gummies, but I don't know that they're going to really do anything. I am going to start taking B12, though.
Food store. Mm-hmm. That they had dried elderberries that you could take.
Oh, really?
Just for that.
Probably better than the gummies.
Yeah, probably.
Ginger. Ginger has the ability to fight off illness on many fronts. It is an antimicrobial that can be taken internally as well as used topically. Ginger also acts as a natural antibiotic. It kills cold viruses, helps combat fever and chills, and gets rid of congestion, and helps with nausea and vomiting, headaches, and indigestion, just to name a few. And our local L8. If you get a good one, you can taste the ginger.
Yes, sir. If it's cold and it bites the back of your throat, it's a good L8.
And you know, they're so far and few between. Uh-huh. I feel like it used years ago, you could drink L8 and they all tasted the same.
Uh-huh.
Now,
But L8 is one of those that you can drink it hot or cold and it tastes the same, so.
No. Yeah. Who drinks the hot L8?
I actually know several people that can drink hot L8. It's just like I have a family member that drinks hot Mountain Dew and stuff. I was like, how do you do it?
A hot L8?
Yes.
This is wrong on so many levels. And if you would like to join a support group, I will start you one. Just contact us. There isn't. That is almost sacrilegious. I don't drink a whole lot of pop soda. I call it soda.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not seeing the L8 over there in the corner and thinking, that looks good. No, it's going in the freezer because it has to get cold, just cold enough before that glass is going to bust.
Yeah.
That is the best way to drink. But it has to be a sweet L8.
Yeah.
The one that you can, you just can't really tell, but no.
Can't tell you.
A warm L8. I have not tried it, so I guess I can't bash it.
It's like L8s and peanuts, man. That
And Coke and peanuts.
No, I've never had L8 peanuts.
So it's good. I had never heard about the whole Coke and your peanuts in your soda pop. Before, I was like 19, I think, the first time I put peanuts in a Coke bottle. Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
But it's better in Coke than it is L.A., and here's why. This is why, because a majority of your L.A.s, they're not sweet like they used to be. I don't know. They just kind of taste... When you get a good one, then yeah, it would be good. But the salt in the peanuts tastes better with the Coke because Coke is so sweet.
Okay, you say so.
So have you never, this is not good for you by no means. And it is not on this list of helping you with your immunity.
Nuts is good for you.
No, it does nothing for you.
Any kind of tree nut is good for you.
It does nothing for your immune system when you put your peanuts in your Coke. Not on this list.
Protein packed.
Mm-hmm. It goes, this is long. Chicken soup, mushrooms. I hit and miss with mushrooms. I like them on my pizza.
I
like them with like a...
It's a texture issue with me because they're slimy.
They're not slimy.
Some of them are slimy.
Okay, no. If they come out of a can, they're slimy and they're bad.
And
slimy mushrooms,
it's
not
like
good.
Trying to eat a snail or something or other.
No, when you like, if they're cooked with onions, uh-huh. When you make a Philly cheese,
yeah,
they're good on that. And they're not slimy.
Yeah.
But I had a salad from a place. I won't name it. And you know, when you go to like a salad bar, they'll have mushrooms, but they'll be like dry. But these were slimy because they come out of a can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no.
That's why we do radio, not TV.
Oh, why is that? Because
that face you just made was...
I can't verbalize how nasty a slimy mushroom is.
Yeah.
I used to like a cream and mushroom soup.
No.
When I was a kid, I used to love it. As an adult, I tried it and just about threw up.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
it's a texture.
All I could think, it is kind of slimy in soup.
Yeah. No thanks.
I mean, but that's right up there with me in hot L8s.
I couldn't drink. You could drink anything if you're thirsty enough. That stuff, especially with the heat that's going on outside.
Yeah,
now.
I can see that if you're desperate, but if you're doing it by choice.
No,
I guess here's what I want to know. I want to know what it is about a warm L8.
I don't know.
Because I know the person you're talking about that was drinking the warm Mountain Dew.
Yeah. I guess he just didn't have ice or something.
No, maybe that's how they prefer. Some people don't like their food warm.
That's,
we know somebody like that. They wait for their food to get cold before they eat it.
And that's the worst thing. You know, if I'm going to spend the money on the food and cooking it and everything, it had better be hot when
I tell you,
now
after COVID has been in the world, and we've all eaten out at restaurants, and we know that they are hurting, and they can't find help, and the help that they're getting, Lord help them. And so... You're paying more for nasty food. Not all places, but some places. And a lot of it is really cold. So these people that enjoy cold food are getting the best service and the best food they've ever had.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
It is. It's all about
you want hot food and you want it to taste good, you better eat at home.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm one of these and stuff. If you're going to buy it, and you're going to cook it, it needs to be at least hot or warm anyway, lukewarm.
It's just so disappointing when you, because, you know, like, you know, as a little person, I don't like to cook. You know, I really don't.
When Papa and my grandma was alive, we'd have cookouts over their house every Sunday or, you know,
you'd
holidays.
Eat before you went to those family get-togethers.
I would stop and eat before I went to them because I knew everybody went to church. And so
cooked their food before.
Yeah, they cooked the food before they went to church, and then they put it in the refrigerator so it wouldn't go bad. And then they took it out and took a half hour, 45-minute drive over to Papaw's. And then you sit around and talk for 20 or 30 minutes. And then you ate, you know, your meal. And everything was cold.
There was one or two times that I went with you when we were just dating on this Sunday afternoon when everybody would eat. And I always wondered why we were stopping to eat before we went. I thought, does he not get nothing to eat like...
No, you can get all kinds you want to eat, but it'd be cold. I don't like cold food. Now, cold pizza is one thing.
Gross, no, mm-mm.
But after that, I draw a line. And it's a bold line.
Like, why are we going to eat before we go to your family's? And then I'm like, oh, why aren't you hardly eating it? And Teresa, oh, no, you know. Just not very hungry. And then, of course, you come across as the person that's nobody wants to like because they're not eating at your...
Yeah, but it was for a good reason. And in on my case, it was for good reason.
I mean, I can see you like bringing some peanut butter and crackers. That's what you... That's like your go-to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely a peanut butter cracker.
We are going through this strange phase with Bubby. The boy will not eat. He will eat, but he's not eating consistently. It's like it's hostage negotiations for him to open his mouth and be like, here, eat this. You like it. You know, he loved green beans. Uh-huh. Now he won't eat them.
But he'll eat coleslaw.
But he likes, he'll eat coleslaw.
And cucumbers.
I think maybe he likes cold food.
Yeah, that could be possible. He likes cheese. He loves cheese.
I know, but you can't feed him.
Yeah, it'd stop you up over time.
Nothing's stopping up him.
And, but yeah, it's different.
I know, but toddlers and their pickiness. I'm telling you what, this is
all their different phases.
Yes, this one, I'm ready for it to pass. He's and I know he's getting enough nutrients because he's getting a little chunky.
Yeah,
not fat, but he's starting to fill out a little bit. Yeah. He didn't, not little baby no more.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we've gone over by 7 minutes.
Oh, well, it'd be all right. You got fireworks this weekend. Everybody just be careful. Starting in August, I think it's August 2nd, maybe August 5th or 6th, I seen a write-up in the papers that law enforcement will start having roadblocks again.
Oh, really?
Yes, because it's a federal grant.
It looks like
that they're fulfilling.
The Corn Festival is the first weekend in August.
First weekend in August.
That's also the, what is the yard sale?
127 yard
sale. 127 yard sale.
And so, but they're having roadblocks and everything. So if you add on the roads, be careful anyway, because there's people out there that don't know how to drive. But please don't be drinking and driving. And stuff.
No,
needs
stay
that.
Where you're at.
Yeah.
You don't need to be driving.
Be careful with the fireworks. Don't let them blow up on your face or blow your arm off or anything like that.
Lloyd.
And stuff. Well, you know, we have that family tradition and stuff where, you know, if you bring them, you set them off, and it's usually just me and one other person.
We haven't done that for years, and you're not setting any off. So
we're not setting. Well, we got some to set off this year. So, but everybody have a great, wonderful holiday weekend.
Stay cool.
If you can.
Remember the sunblock.
Yeah. But that's all we got, I think. So everybody have a great and blessed weekend and a blessed work week ahead, because it's going to be a short one for some people. And a lot of people's taking off on vacation, too. So.
Yeah, that's the only thing. This, you know, COVID in February, nobody's on vacation. COVID in June, everybody's on vacation and they're posting their pictures. Uh-huh. And here you are at home.
Yep. But everybody have a great one. We'll catch you here next weekend. So long.
Nothing more to do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.